good morning. So good to see you in the Lord's house. Let's begin going to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are a mighty God. You are worthy of worship. Let everything that we say and do, every aspect of this service, Lord, bring honor and glory to your holy name. Thank you for our pastor, Joel. I pray that you'll fill him with your spirit and power as he delivers your word to us. Help us to receive it with gladness in our hearts, and help us to take hold of the truth and live it. Give us confidence through your word, and we know that you keep your promises, and we're grateful for that. Thank you for the great love that you've shown us, the grace, the mercy, and help us to proclaim that through the music today and through the worship. Bless the choir as they sing, and fill our hearts with your peace and your love today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will call upon. welcome. Glad you're here. Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad the Lord's led you to worship with us today, all you visitors. We're so thankful the Lord's led you to worship with us. I'll take just a few moments, wander around, welcome your friends. We are glad you are here today.
Children sang it for us last year, but it goes right along with what we're talking about in the Word of God today, that God has begun a good work in us, and God is the author of our faith, and He's the finisher of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. So the Bible says, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So God takes care of it. We just follow Him. We just take hold of Him and allow Him to do that work in us. We're going to sing this old contemporary worship song from back in the day when Joel and I were in college. I guess it is. We were still growing up then. At least I was, Joel. And this song came along, and this is how I remember Philippians 1:6. And so we're going to learn it together and sing it together. He who began a good work in you. This song was so effective, it found its way in our hymn book. It's hymn number 537. to sing it. You'll be singing the Word of God. That's powerful. All right, we're going to sing our offertory hymn now, which is from Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal of the high calling of Jesus Christ to win that prize. And it is the high calling of the Lord Jesus. Hymn number 549. We'll sing all four stanzas, but you can remain seated until we reach the last stanza. We'll all stand together to receive the offering today. So gracious to us. We love you and we appreciate the work that you have begun in us. And we trust in you and we know that you are faithful to carry it on to completion. We bless your name. We pray that you'll bless this offering and these tithes that are given today, that Lord, it'll make a difference throughout the world through the missionaries that serve in foreign places, that you'll bless them, protect them, make their work fruitful, keep them safe as they travel from place to place. Also in North America, the same prayer, Lord, for these missionaries and for even right here in our association, in our state, that you'll bless those that are doing missions even close to home. And Lord, right here in Gunnersville at First Baptist, bless us as we serve you. Bless the resources that are given and multiply them for your use, for your glory. Bless each one here today and prosper them in their homes. And may we always give thanks to you for the blessings that you pour out on us. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beautiful. Right now, we're going to sing a song about trusting in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Straightforward, simple scripture. Not so easy to do. Because we like to grab it ourselves. At least I do. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. What He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. The author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long.
That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard.
heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, that's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. I trust in God. He will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God.
That's our desire for you today, that you would trust in the Lord, that you would seek Him. The Bible says, if you seek me, you will find me. That's what God said.
All right, thank you, ensemble. I trust in God, He will never fail. So that's what we just listened to with the ensemble, and that's going to lead us into our passage of Scripture today. Earlier in the worship service, we sang together, He who began a good work in you, and that is from our passage of Scripture for today, Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. So if you weren't here last Sunday, we started a study of the book of Philippians. And so we're going to spend the fall and we'll take a break at Advent and then jump back in it at the beginning of 2025 in January and finish up. So we're going to walk through verse by verse the book of Philippians. We haven't done that in a long, long, long time. As a matter of fact, we've never done that on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Back in 2008, we did Wednesday nights walking through the book of Philippians, but we've never done Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. And so just kind of felt the Lord leading me to do that. Tuesday, Ken and Karen and I were just in the office talking about different things. And Ken said, looked at me and said, all right, so tell me, why Philippians? Why now? Why did the Lord lead you? So Ken, I think, was just kind of wanting to know, okay, I'm the one that prepares the music for worship. And so tell me, why did the Lord, or how did the Lord lead you to Philippians? And I really didn't have a good answer at the time, but I wasn't thinking about that. And so, but once I thought about it a little bit more, I think I did tell Ken. I've been trying for 2 years to get here. I've had it on my left side of my desk, and then I would bring it to the middle of the desk, and I would think, okay, the next thing is going to be Philippians. And then the Lord would lead me in another direction. We did a cast of characters, Old Testament, New Testament characters. Now, all of those characters proclaim, in their own way, proclaim the gospel. We did a series on salt and light. What does it really mean in our daily lives to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? And so we kind of tackled that and angled it at all these different directions. What does it really mean to be salt and light? We did a study of the Apostles' Creed. 2 years ago, we started a study of Hebrews just on Wednesday nights, and we walked through the book of Hebrews. So it never could quite work out, but I kept it there. I'd put it back over here on the left side of my desk, and then I would become about in the middle of a series, and I'd pull it back to the middle, and then I'd pray about it, and not yet. So I just kind of kept waiting on the Lord's timing, and so now I really feel like that this is the right time for us to walk through Philippians for many reasons, but one reason is because We have so many great challenges right now at First Baptist Church. When I use the word challenge, oftentimes people hear bad. The word challenge oftentimes means something's wrong, something bad. We have challenges, and nothing could be further from the truth. All right? So when I say we have challenges, these are unbelievably great challenges that we have at FBC right now. We've got a youth ministry that is literally busting out of a building. We've got a children's ministry that is growing like a weed. I mean, young families piling into this church with children. They're everywhere. So the challenge, what are we going to do with youth ministry? What are we going to do with our children's ministry that's growing beyond where we are? So what a great challenge. And then I said this morning in the early worship, because I want to make sure that the early worship hears what I say here, because, and I'm not saying it because it's preacher talk. It really is true. Y'all, the senior adult ministry is as great as the children and youth ministry. This Tuesday, about 80 plus of our senior adults are going to be picking and grinning and having a big old time eating Boston butt. And the senior adult ministry is as good as the other ministries. So how are we going to navigate all children, youth, senior adults? How are we going to navigate all that? Anchored Adventures could not be any better. How are we going to help Anchored Adventures? So all of these challenges. Well, let me tell you something, church. The church at Philippi had a lot of challenges too. More so than we have. And so Paul wrote them a letter while he was in a prison cell in Rome, encouraging them. And so what I'm hoping and praying is that as we walk through Philippians, then it will help us as we pray about the vision that God is giving us and the challenges that we have in front of us. So Paul starts out the letter and he says, slavery to Christ, unearned and unmerited favor of God to those who deserve and have earned only death and hell. The end of all strife with God. We are no longer God's enemy. Thankfulness in the midst of hell on earth. Remember, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in a prison cell in Rome. So that's how Paul begins this letter. I'm no longer God's enemy. I'm now His child because of the unearned and unmerited favor given to me by Jesus. Therefore, I consider myself to be His slave. So today we hear God saying to His people through the Apostle Paul, don't ever give up. God will complete His work in you. Verses 5 and 6, chapter 1. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began this good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes. So one of my all-time favorite verses. Why? Because it is, verse 6 is the complete work of the gospel. Justification, sanctification, glorification. So let's real quickly just kind of walk through that. First, Paul says, God is the one who started the work in you. Justification, that is, justification means salvation. We are saved by grace alone through faith alone. One of the clarion calls of the Protestant Reformation was grace alone through faith alone. A few Wednesday nights ago when we started this study, we talked about the fact that faith is simply the hand that receives God's incredible grace. So faith is self-emptying. We, because we are sinners, we have a tendency to turn faith into something that we do. Look at me, look at my faith. No, nothing could be further from the truth. Faith is self-emptying. Faith simply receives what God does. It is the complete work of God. So we have the first part of salvation. And then there's glorification or sanctification. Paul says, He will continue His work until it is finished. So that is, God is the one who will continue His work to mold you and to shape you into the image of His Son, Jesus. Every day, every experience, every circumstance, good, bad, right, wrong, God will use everything to make us like His Son, Jesus. And in that process, He will never let us go. Another clarion call of the Protestant Reformation is perseverance of the saints. God will complete His work. Then there's glorification. Paul then finishes this verse by saying, until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And then, church, at that moment, whether I pass from this life to the next, Jesus comes again, one way or the other, I will shed this mortal, sinful body that I live in, and I will be like Jesus. Glorification. Glorification in Christ Jesus. So God started the work, salvation. God will complete the work, sanctification. And then God will celebrate that work by making us like Jesus for all eternity, glorification. So there is no doubt about the fact that God is God. One of the things that we found out in the Apostles' Creed is that we affirm the fact that God is sovereign over all things. God then could instantly transform us and make us into whatever He wants to make us. But God doesn't do it that way. God has chosen to develop us slowly. Jesus was deliberate in developing His disciples. God allowed the Israelites to take over the promised land little by little by little so that they wouldn't be overwhelmed. So according to Scripture, God prefers to work in incremental steps in our lives. And yet at the same time, the promise is He will finish His work. But I ask the question, why does it take so long? I'll quote in just a moment from a book by a man named Lane Adams. And the title of the book was, Why Does It Take So Long for God to Make Me Holy? What a great title. Why does it take so long? Well, there's many answers to that question. But today we're going to just talk about real quickly two. It's because we are slow learners. My goodness. And both in the early worship and in this worship service, when I said that, everybody smiled. Boy, we're slow learners. If you study the Old Testament, one of the things that you notice about the Old Testament is that all throughout the whole Old Testament, there is this cycle, and it goes over and over and over and over and over and over again. And here's the cycle. God's people or an individual sins. And then the problem is not so much that God's people or that this individual sins, but the problem is that they then start wallowing in that sin. They start liking that sin. It becomes comfortable. And then not only do they start wallowing in that sin and they still liking that sin and enjoying that sin, they then thumb their nose up to God and they say, we don't need you anymore. We want to do it our way. I remember telling you the story about the time that I was in Wilshofen, Germany, and we were on an excursion and we were in the center of downtown, and there was this big, huge monument that had been there for 1,000 years. And the lady said, does anybody know what this monument represents? Well, it just so happens that my best friend is the associate dean of the Beeson School of Divinity at Samford University. And so he knows all this stuff. And he says, yes, that monument was put there. And it took X amount of years to build. And it was put there to honor God for getting His people through the Black Plague. And she said, yes, that's exactly right. And then she said, You Americans think that we don't believe in God anymore over here in Europe. We still believe in God. We just don't need Him anymore. My best friend and I, we looked at each other, and I looked at my best friend Tommy and said, that's a good sermon. That's going to be a good sermon one day. We sin. We then wallow in that sin. We then start enjoying that sin. We then snub our nose to God as if to say, I don't need you anymore. I can do this on my own. And then comes the pain of wallowing in that sin. 400 years of slavery. And on and on and on the list goes in the old covenant. And then the pain of that sin. And then God's people or the individuals then cry out to God, God, I'm sorry, I repent of my sin. And God, always in this cycle, forgives. Once again, we are slow learners. Secondly, we have a lot to unlearn. I had a good friend, and we want to learn it quick. Unlearn it real quick. I have a good friend that called me. He said he doesn't go to this church, and he called me and he said, I need to come by and see you, and that's never good. And so he did and came by, and he's real matter-of-fact, one of these matter-of-fact kind of guys. He comes in, he shuts the door, he sits down. He says, I've been doing this and living like this for 30 years. I said, well, that's not good. He said, no, it's not good. And he said, then I've been saying this about what I've been doing for 30 years. I've been saying it this way for 30 years. And I said, boy, that's not good either. And he looked at his watch and he said, now I've got about 30 minutes before I got to be back to work. Can you fix me? And I said, so 30 years of ingrained sin in your life and I'm supposed to fix you in about 15 minutes. He said, yeah, can you fix me? I said, oh, it's your lucky day. It is your blessed day. When I was in seminary, I was required to take one course in counseling. And I did. I took that course in counseling. And I made an A. And typically, I'm a C-minus kind of guy. But I made an A in counseling. So I am this is your lucky day. This is perfect. I said, so that which you've been doing for 30 years, ingrained in your life, and I've got the perfect counseling for you on this. Don't do that ever again. Don't do it ever again. All right. And then I said, you've been saying this about what you've been doing for 30 years. You've been saying it this way. And so my counseling to you is just as good as the first part. The second part is don't ever say that ever again. And we laughed. We prayed. And we've been praying together ever since. I told the early worship, by the way, he ended up finding a real counselor that really has helped him through that. And we still pray together. But we want quick solutions to deep-rooted, long-standing problems of sin. There is no magical pill. There's no magical formula that will instantly undo the damage of sin. Paul says it this way, though, to the church at Ephesus. He says, here's what we're really trying to accomplish. We're trying our best. God is trying His best to help us take off the old self, yes, and put on the new self. Secondly, becoming more like Jesus is just scary sometimes. It really is. We don't like to admit that, but it really is. I don't know where I got this. I'm very, 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 oftentimes I hear something or I read something and then I write it down and I forget to write who said it. And so I'm sorry that I don't have that person who gave this quote, but it's not from me. It's from somebody else that I didn't write down. But he wrote, there is no growth without change. There is no change without fear or loss. And there is no loss without pain. We fear loss even if our old ways are self-defeating because like an old worn-out pair of shoes, they're comfortable. Yes, sadly, that's true. Nobody likes an old worn-out pair of shoes more than this guy or an old worn-out pair of jeans more than this guy. Janice will say, maybe we need to get you some new blue jeans. I say, honey, in 10 more years, I'm going to have these just where I want them. Man, I've just about got them worked out, you know. Comfortable, sadly. Lane Adams once compared the sanctification to the strategy of the Allies in World War II to liberate the islands of the South Pacific. He writes, first they would soften up an island, weakening the resistance by shelling the enemy strongholds with bombs from offshore ships. Next, a small group of Marines would invade the island and establish a beachhead, a tiny fragment of the island that they could control. Once the beachhead was secured, they would begin the long process of liberating the rest of the island, one bit of territory at a time. Eventually, the entire island would be brought under control, but not without some costly battles. He then drew this parallel. Before Christ invades our lives at conversion, he has to sometimes soften us up by allowing problems and pains that we just can't handle. Boy, that is so true. But the moment that you open yourself up to Christ, God gets a beachhead in your life. You may think you have surrendered all your life to him, but the truth is, there's a lot to your life that you're not even aware of. You can only give God as much as you understand at that moment, and that's okay. Once Christ is given a beachhead, he begins the campaign to take over more and more territory until all your life is completely his. There will be struggles and battles, but the outcome will never be in doubt. Why? Because God promises that he who began a good work in you will complete that work until it is finally finished. And yet at the same time, you and I, we live in this culture of instant gratification. We want what we want when we want it, and we want it right now. And yet at the same time, Erwin Lutzer reminds me over and over and over again, because it is on my desk, Joel, there are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. It takes time to be holy. So God uses our entire lifetime to prepare us for eternity. Paul says to the church at Philippi, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, will keep at it. And he will bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. So let me end this sermon by being as plain as I know how to be. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're on your own. And I say that all the time, but this verse really stands out. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you've never repented of your sin and put your trust and your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, then you're on your own. You are wandering through a dark, sinful world that will swallow you whole. You will not make it. And when you pass from this life to the next, you will spend eternity separated from God in a sinner's hell for all eternity. You are like a hamster on a treadmill. You are running hard, but you are going nowhere. And you will get nowhere. And you are on your own. That's not coming from the old Baptist preacher who's trying to scare people out of hell and into heaven. No, that's just truth. If you don't know Jesus, you are on your own. For those of us who know him, for those of us who have repented of our sin and we put our trust and our faith in Christ Jesus, then God will complete that work. Yesterday I was on the 18th fairway with Richard Manley and Brian Harrell, and they said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, well, it's Philippians 1, 5, and 6. He who began a good work in you will complete it. And then I looked at Richard and I looked at Brian and I said, because guys, we wouldn't complete it on our own. If it was left to me, to my own sinful devices, there's no way I would complete this thing. It would be impossible for me to complete it. Richard Manley said, not only would it be impossible for you to complete it, you couldn't even start it. I said, 100% true, Richard. Richard said, if there's any money to come from this sermon, I do want royalties. True. For those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, breathe. Breathe it in, church. Breathe it in. Breathe in the gospel. God has got you in his hand, and he will never let you go, and he will. Not maybe, not hopefully. Certainly would sound good if he did. No, God will complete His work in you. Breathe deep, church. Breathe in the gospel. Father, thank you for that good word. Thank you for that powerful word. It started with God through Jesus. It continues with God through Jesus. And it will be finished with God through Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the good news of the gospel. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, may today be the day of salvation. For those of us that know Him, may we celebrate the gift of the gospel today. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. I am thine, O Lord, is our invitation hymn. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, you've heard the gospel proclaimed through the Apostle Paul. Come. I would love to pray with you and talk with you about making that decision. If you need to come join our church, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord.
Real quickly, be seated. What do we got first, Will? Oh, Myers-Mallory. We start Myers-Mallory today.
Together, we can minister to those affected by disaster by being the hands and feet of Jesus. Together, we can encourage and equip today the missionaries of tomorrow. Together, we can come alongside church planters as they start new churches, and pastors and staff as they work to strengthen established ones, so more and more people will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. Together, we can partner with missionaries around the world through praying, giving, and going. Together, we can make a difference. Your prayers, coupled with your gifts to the Myers-Mallory State Missions Offering, will help carry the light of the gospel into a darkened world. Please prayerfully consider your gift and join us in boldly praying for the harvest during the week of prayer for state missions.
All right, so our goal is $11,000. We start that today through the month of September, our Myers-Mallory, Alabama State Missions goal. So if you haven't given yet, please make sure you pray about that and let the Lord lead you to the gift that you need to give. All right, so in the early worship this morning, Kirk and Hannah Mears and their two children came. Now, Kirk and Hannah both have publicly professed Christ as Savior and Lord, and they both have followed Christ in believer's baptism. They've been a part of our church for several years. Wednesday night, Hannah came up to me. She said, "We need to join." I said, "Yes, you do." And so they did this Sunday, this morning. So when you see Kirk and Hannah or their children, make sure that you encourage them as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church, all right? Wednesday night, we will start having Wednesday night in here at 6, no longer at 6:30. Y'all keep that in mind. So this week, we'll have our quarterly business meeting at 6 o'clock. From that point forward, Everything will be at 6 o'clock in here. Everybody has moved to 6 except me. And so I was standing in the office talking with Ken and Karen. I said, I'm the only one still at 6:30. And Ken said, actually, it would help me a lot if you moved to 6. And I said, well, then that's all we needed to hear, helping Ken and the ensemble for their practices. So we will be at 6 o'clock in here from this point forward on Wednesday nights. Keep that in mind, all right? Children's choir, Ken.
Yeah, our first day is tomorrow. And so if you have not signed up, it's not too late, but we need to get those in right away to make sure we have plenty of transportation and refreshments. So we're looking forward to it. Pray for us as we get started tomorrow. It's going to be a great year.
All right. And then next Sunday is the last Sunday to nominate deacons or committee on committee members. So go to the website, go to ministry opportunities, and it will show you those who have rolled off or those who are rolling off this year, and they'll give you those that you can nominate. Same with committee on committees. Tuesday night, the sign-up is on the Old Lord's Supper table for the Boston Butt Western Dinner. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's 80-plus already signed up. That is going to be a lot of fun for you senior adults, all right? Baby dedication is October the 6th, 8:15 service. So have some child that needs wants to be dedicated. See Micah, and Michael will get all of that worked out, all right? And then the annual church picnic, last Sunday of this month, September 29, we'll eat around 5:30, hot dogs, hamburgers, bring sides to go with hot dogs and hamburgers, and so we'll tell you more about that as it comes.
Warren wanted me to say they're leaving at 3 o'clock today.
Yes.
3 o'clock today to watch the movie The Forge. Somebody has donated the price of admission for a lot of the youth. I think they have 50 seats. They do have some extra tickets if any of our adults would like to go, but they're going to leave the church parking lot at 3 o'clock. Need to get there so they can get in their seats by 3:45.
All right, let's all stand and close by singing The Solid Rock.